Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Sam Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And unfortunately, we don't have Tom here.
We don't.
It's, you know what? The thing is, it's unfortunate that he's not here because we'll miss his company, but he's always on these adventures. Tom is always trying to expand his horizons. And so this weekend, he's at a conference for, I've not heard of this before. Maybe you have. It's Tap Dance Farming.
Oh, yes.
So it's the latest thing, apparently, the pitter-patter of your feet on earth as you're sowing potato seeds.
Well, you know, people heard about that book years ago, The Mozart Effect on the Impact of Music plants.
Right, so he's singing.
Well, he's tap dancing. The rhythm of his feet also makes those plants want to grow.
We wish him well in his endeavors always. And so there, I have zero ways of getting into our topic today. So I'm not going to be able to make a nice segue here like I normally do. We're just going to talk about Mother Teresa. And because this, when this show airs, as this show is airing, it is the feast day of Blessed, or Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Yes.
So I know most of our listenership loves Mother Teresa as Catholics around the world, and even non-Catholics around the world see this woman as a holy inspiration, you know, a wonderful, wonderful saint. And, you know, interestingly, a lot of people don't know this, but on October 19th, 2003, when she was beatified, before she was canonized, when she was beatified, I was there in St. Peter's Square with John Paul II, not standing next to him or anything. He did look at me, though. I think he was looking at me.
Waiting for your thumbs up to move forward with the ceremony.
And I gave him the thumbs up. I did. I gave him the thumbs up. But that was an honor and a blessing to be there with all those missionaries of charity. It was a beautiful, beautiful. And you know, one of the greatest experiences I had was coming back. I bought like a bag full. I mean, one of those bags with like 1,000 of the little, they had Mother Teresa medals.
Oh.
You know, that they were handing out. I bought a bag of them. And so when the Pope blessed, all the religious articles were there. I brought those back for the missionaries of charity in Memphis. I think they're still giving those out.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Well, it's funny because Mother Teresa, one of her practices was specifically with the miraculous medal.
Yes, yes.
She would go out and she would give them out to people.
They still give them out.
Wonderful.
They still give them out. So it's a beautiful thing. So here's the thing. We haven't done a top 10 show in a while here at the Catholic Cafe. And so what we thought we'd do is sort of like our top 10 Mother Teresa quotes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she said so many things. She has way more than 10. And I guess we should be clear that we're not ranking these.
Right.
Far be it from us to rank the words of a saint. But we will say that these are, as we go through these, you'll probably hear, like, there's some wisdom here.
Absolutely. And by the way, should we do our top 10 list jingle? It's been a while since we've cracked it out.
No, we probably shouldn't. But since it's already on your mind and your heart.
The top 10 list. Yeah.
All right. Very
glad I wrote that, by the way. Copyright Sam Ziggy Rodriguez.
Yes, exactly. Ziggy Rodriguez. I don't think you're going to have any infringement claims whatsoever. So let's just dive into these because some of them are beautiful. And some of them, it's amazing. Here's the thing about our saints. They are immensely important to us Catholics, not just because of what they do on an intercessory basis, as they're literally next to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in heaven, right, advocating for us. What a beautiful gift that is in sainthood. But also in the example of their lives and their words that live on longer than they do, right? That the words go on and on and on. And so we have her words that are inspiration. It's amazing, as I look at this list that we've compiled, how prophetic many of these words
are. Well, they're so deeply, people like Mother Teresa are so deeply infused by the Holy Spirit that they have eyes to see the intersection of God's truth and everyday realities in a way that we oftentimes miss.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. And so we know the Holy Spirit's present because here's the thing. This first quote we're gonna read. First of all, take a look outdoors right now and watch the news for about, I don't know, 13 seconds.
Right.
Read whatever periodical or social media posts that you normally focus on, and then listen to this. If we have no peace, it is because we've forgotten that we belong to each other.
Wow.
And there's, so it's like Mother Teresa is here in the midst of all this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Where it seems like peace is something that we don't give a chance.
Right.
Right? To quote our 1960s brethren, you know, and I think that if we're looking at this, we've forgotten, as she says, that we belong to each other.
Just as Paul says, you know, that in the body of Christ, we are all one, we are all members of the same body, all members of the same body, and thus we all belong to one another. It's not just some sort of a highfalutin phrase or way of describing things. It is true, but it's a truth that we so easily lose sight of.
Yeah, so the body of Christ literally is, it's us.
Yeah.
I mean, we are the body of Christ, and when we forget that, it's very easy for us to be divided.
Right.
Right. And so you sit there and think like, well, in my own body, is my right hand, it may be different than my left hand,
mm-hmm.
but they're part of me.
Yes.
And Paul spends a long time talking about parts of the body.
Yes.
Right. And so it's important for us to understand that those who are separated from us, whether it's financially or racially, whatever it is, really are not separated from us. We belong to each other.
And right. They might likewise see us as separated from them.
Perhaps. And so if we're seeking peace, it seems like we need to realize that we're members of the body of Christ. And then when we do that, peace comes, I think, at yes. the end of that. Now, this next quote is interesting because it's, you know, she had probably had a lot of things that would have been like corporate wisdom. This would have been one of those things. It says, not all of us can do great things. But we can do small things with great love, right? So yeah. Now, while the great love part wouldn't necessarily be, you know, a mantra of a great corporation, and a lot of them want to be, you know, concerned and caring for everyone, kind of a thing, and they'll present that, but they don't want to use the word love, maybe. But but it's almost like this, you know, we don't necessarily want to like climb Mount Everest. Or whatever, but because I think about the corporate mantra, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right.
You start slowly and in a small way. And so I see this as a beautiful, I don't know, just a peek into the potential for doing things that are impactful. And you can do small things, but if you have great love, that basically sustains, ratifies, empowers that thing, no matter how small it is that you do.
And I can't help but see it through the lens of the little way, St. Therese of Lisieux, who a lot of people don't realize, Mother Teresa, she took her name honoring St. Therese of Lisieux and had a picture throughout her entire life as a nun. A picture of St. Therese of Lisieux was in her bedroom.
Yes. Yeah, that's beautiful. I just love hearing you say Lisieux.
Lisieux.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah, but it's just like... I think that's a beautiful thing. And when you see that connection, the little way...
Mm-hmm.
Right, and how her Therese of Lisieux's little way is still to this day having a great impact on Catholics who follow that, and you realize, wow, amazing things happen.
Yeah, this little nun who could have been
she
easily
was literally
forgotten.
Small.
She was, but also someone who could have been easily forgotten. She didn't even want to write her memoirs, except she was forced to by her mother superior, and they became the blueprint, so to speak, of Mother Teresa's life. So you can see right there the proof that something yeah. small can become something huge.
That's powerful. So speaking of huge, let's talk about just the impact of a huge smile on your face.
Okay.
Right. I've worked with the Missionaries of Charity locally in Memphis. My wife goes and down to the shelter down there, and one night a month she's responsible for dinner for the folks that come through there. And I've been down there many, many, many times and seen those beautiful sisters. The most beautiful thing about them is their smile. When they're so welcoming and they greet. And this third quote that we're going to talk about from Mother Teresa is, let us always meet each other with a smile, for the smile is the beginning of love.
Mm.
You know, whoa. And I'm just thinking about all the difficulty we have loving others.
Yeah.
And if we just start with a smile, it's like amazingly how that's, it's like that "Hello, my name is" name tag.
Yes.
Right? It's just like, but it's like a big smile on your sticker that you put on your suit coat or whatever.
Well, it also relates to what you were saying at the very beginning of the show about, you know, we, how easily we forget that kinship that's supposed to be there, that we all belong to one another. And Mother Teresa, she saw a link between love and kindness.
Yeah.
And just living out kindness in such a way with the power of a smile and the power of a joyful presence, a joyful welcoming presence, can have on building that kinship.
It is transformative.
Yes.
It's incumbent upon us to smile more because right. that's the beginning, right? That's the beginning. I think if we're going to live in love, first we have to start with the smiling.
Right.
Right. No one wants to love a person that's not smiling. It's hard. It's harder. Okay, so let's go on to this next quote. I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then there is no hurt, but only more love.
Whoa, yeah, that's pretty deep.
Yeah, so if we were on TV right now, we'd have our hands on the side of our head. We'd be doing that like mind blown, you know, thing. Because you think about that. And love till it hurts, but if in that setting, I find that there is no hurt.
Right.
Right. And it's like, wow.
Only love, because there's that acceptance of the cross, of redemptive suffering, of the everyday sufferings of life. If we were living out love in a way that was exemplified by Jesus and his love for us, which is exactly what Mother Teresa did, then that's where we're able to sort of live in that mystery that she's pointing to. And you were just talking about, you know, it's hard to love somebody that isn't smiling, you know, and yeah, I know yeah, to yeah. an extent that, you know, but the fact of the matter is, you know what? There are days when it's really hard to smile.
Yeah.
And it's hard to smile meaningfully at another person. And it's hard to look at a person and say, we are of the same kinship, that we belong to each other and really love that person. But when you're rooted in the love of Jesus and the love revealed by Christ crucified and the way that Mother Teresa was.
You know,
then it's a completely different, and you are able to look upon that person and smile upon that person in the same way that God Almighty continues to smile on us even when we let him down constantly.
And the more we do the things that seem to be at first uncomfortable, right, the things that hurt, the more we do that, the more we realize, you know, this isn't so bad. In fact, what I'm finding out now is this is really good.
In fact, it's a source of joy and meaning.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. So those are the first four that we've come up with, and we've got six more we're going to go through in the second half of the show. So we're going to take a break. But before we take that break, I want to remind folks at home, we got a great website, thecatholiccafe.com. Also, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com.
And like us on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter. Like and share our posts and comment on them. It makes a difference.
With that, we'll be right back.
I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history. Often, we hear of people who set one great and lofty goal in life to attain before they draw their last breath on earth, so that when death comes, they will feel that they have lived a fulfilling and profitable life. If reached, this one goal becomes their crowning achievement or greatest moment. Perhaps no one in history provides a better example of such a desire than Simeon. This righteous and devout man from Jerusalem, as St. Luke refers to him in his Gospel, was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah of the Lord. For Simeon, the mere sight of Jesus would be for him that greatest moment and most awesome blessing from God. Then, when Jesus was presented in the temple after his birth to be consecrated to the Lord, as Jewish law prescribed, Simeon, filled with the Spirit, approached the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and took the Savior of the world into his arms. His eyes must have welled with tears as he uttered a beautiful prayer of blessing to God. In Latin, Nunc dimittis, servum tuum Domine, secundum verbum tuum, in pace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. This prayer, known as the Nunc Dimittis, is prayed nightly in the Liturgy of the Hours, the great prayer of the Church. It reflects beautifully the feeling of Simeon that now, upon his seeing Jesus, his life's greatest desire was fulfilled at that moment. In chapter 10 of John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Indeed, Jesus came to fill our lives with his joy and love. His mere presence among us in the Incarnation was a sign from God that we are his children and he desires us to live with him in eternity. This sign of abundant life became a reality for Simeon when he saw Jesus in the arms of Mary and Joseph. We too must pray this prayer of blessing to God, the Nunc Dimittis, as we celebrate the presence of Christ among us even today, some 2,000 years after his birth. He is present in his written word, in his priests, in his people who gather in worship, and most especially in the Eucharist. Before we draw our last breath, we too, like Simeon, must freely accept Christ's offer of abundant life. I'm Bess Trzymski, and this is another great moment in church history.
Welcome back to the Catholic Cafe. Here's Deacon Jeff.
And we're back in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, and sitting here with Ziggy Rodriguez, Missing Tom, who's tap dancing on the old farmland.
Oh, yeah, he's got the whole soundtrack of Oklahoma on loop on his iPod.
Yes, Tom Dorian, O-K-O-L-H. Yes, so it's going to be so good when he gets back, and we'll have to check his boots and see how dirty they are. I mean, he's been tap dancing out there. So we're talking about Mother Teresa on this beautiful feast day of Mother Teresa, or this weekend. And we're remembering just some beautiful words that she said that essentially are prophetic, and they're just words for our times, words for this age. They resonate.
Yes.
With us now. And so we want to go on to this next one. We left the last one, we talked about loving till it hurts. And we want to stay in that sort of vein of love here, as it were. And this fifth quote we want to read from her is, "The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread."
Wow.
Now, you think about that for a second, because we think about all the real, I think there's some great faith in action, even in some government action that's going to be for the common good,
yep,
right? And where we will give food to the hungry and shelter to the homeless. And so we see lots of programs. And while many of those are good programs, at the core of them, if they're missing the love aspect, they're not actually satisfying. I mean, they're taking care of a need.
Right.
Right, but only love. So where she's saying that this hunger for love is far more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. We can fix the bread problem, she says. But we can't just easily fix the love problem.
You know, I'm reminded of, there's somebody who we're both actually very close to, kind of a part of his conversion experience and deepening his relationship with the Lord. He was out in a third world or developing country, and he was in a landfill area ministering to people and trying to help this village.
Yeah.
And this little boy comes up to him, and he felt completely ill-equipped because I don't have anything to give him. This kid's begging, I can't give him something.
Right.
And he felt God tell him, give him yourself, be a dad. Be a dad. Just give him yourself. And that touched his heart in such a way, because ultimately, for us to say, oh, I don't have anything to give, give yourself, give your heart, you know.
And that's far more advantageous. While they're like, hey, look, dude, I just wanted some money. I wanted some bread. The reality is that sometimes people don't know what to ask for.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they know they have immediate needs. And so it's not wrong to take care of those needs.
No.
But it is actually such a bonus, such a benefit, right, to take care of the needs that even they might not see that they're deficient in.
We all need to be seen. We all need to be known and loved.
Right. So, exactly. So that part's it's a beautiful opportunity for all of us.
Yes.
Right, in that setting. So here's another quote. So we just finished talking about love and the hunger for love. Well, there's also that hunger for bread that Mother Teresa talks about. So let's transition here to the Eucharist.
Ah, yes. Right?
And so here's what she says. Jesus has made himself the bread of life to give us life. Night and day, he is there. If you really want to grow in love, come back to the Eucharist. Come back to that adoration.
Oof.
right? Put yourself in the living presence of the living God. This is why it's so important for people to understand that simple and basic Catholic teaching that Jesus Christ is truly and really substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Eucharist.
And a lot of people don't realize this in terms of Mother Teresa's mission with the Missionaries of Charity. They have a daily holy hour for the sisters. And in fact, it is such an integral part of their daily formation to have that access to Christ in the Eucharist that they've had bishops from developing countries say, hey, come, we want you in our, and we have this need for the Missionaries of Charity here. If they don't have the priests in that diocese that are necessary to ensure that the sisters can have the Eucharist every day in Mass,
they ain't gonna be there.
Right.
They're not gonna set up shop because that's really at the heart of who they are.
They can't do it if they're not fed themselves.
So it tells us we as Catholics, it should be at the heart of who we are.
Yeah.
And that's what she's saying in her gentle and loving way. It's like, I love it's like, come back to the Eucharist.
Yes.
Right? She's talking to folks who have kind of wandered, even if you're going to Mass every Sunday, like you're supposed to, come back to the Eucharist.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just sit in the presence.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So this seventh quote I'm going to read to you is another beautiful one. What can you do to promote world peace? Go home and love your family. Now, see, I love that one, too, how simple that is. You know, she really should have been Catholic. This is a great lady. She's I'm joking. Please don't write. But I know she's Catholic. but it's so in tune with Catholic teaching about the domestic church.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That church, I mean, essentially it starts at home.
How many people, you know, Deacon Jeff, that you've ministered to who have serious wounds that interfere with their faith, how often is it wounds that happen in their early family life? I mean, it's almost at that point, it's almost a passé cliche.
Exactly.
You know, but the fact is it's a cliche for a reason. It's because it's true.
I know. It's like, let me guess. It's this, or this. And they go like, yes, how did you know? It's a prophecy. And I don't want to belittle the terrible travesty that is the family for so many people. I get it.
Yeah.
But it just shows us that, first of all, we shouldn't take for granted our family. We need to continue to support it, to love it, to nurture it, and then also to speak about families, the importance of families, right? And so what Mother Teresa's saying is, if you want world peace, if you want to change the world, then you need to live in a home or provide a home with a mama and a daddy and kids.
It's a mission territory. It's a mission field.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, even if we're in the midst of brokenness in our own families, that ideal of what the family is, we should be living by that.
We could still help usher that new season
in. That's
right.
And when you see sometimes things that you are missing, you can actually substantially fill some of those needs through other experiences with other people in your life. If you don't have a real father or a real mother on this earth, you can find one, because there's lots of people that would love to be a father figure or a mother figure to you, right?
Right.
So there's just ways of doing those kind of things, but the importance of the family just can't, we just can't diminish the importance, because once we lose the family, this is why Satan is attacking the family.
Oh, every day.
This is why all the stuff, pornography, contraception, abortion, sex outside of marriage, gender dysphoria, all these things are all aimed at destroying what we call family.
And Mother Teresa understood that well. She was, I would say she was pretty actively aware of the importance of life and the sanctity of life.
Yeah, speaking of the sanctity of life, let's get to this next quote, which is, it's kind of hard to hear.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's not friendly. And I had this on a bumper sticker on my van when I had all the kids, y'all, nine of them packed in, right? And here's this bumper sticker. It says, "It is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you may live as you wish." That goes right to the heart, and it's a little accusatory, it would not be well received today. And in fact, on my van, it was not well received. We got lots of nasty honks.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know that maybe it's the way I would speak, but Mother Teresa did, and she's a saint, so maybe we should speak like this more, because it speaks a truth. I mean, it's like, we can say that we've got to take care of the people on this earth before we worry about the unborn.
Right.
We can't say that, though. We say that, and we say we have all these other hungry mouths to feed. Why would we bring another one in? Right? Because we had another one that said that, you know, saying there's too many children is like there's too many flowers.
Oh.
You know, that's another one of her quotes. And it's like, you know, the thing is, kids are beautiful. And if you want to see poverty, then what's a poverty is the poverty of soul, the emptiness of soul of saying, like, I don't want kids in this world because I want to be able to have this, 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 and that.
Right. Which, and I loved one thing about it when she talked about life issues. She referred to each unborn child as an image of God, and she would a lot of times begin saying, they are destroying images of God. They are desecrating images of God. I know.
When you see it that way, it's a powerful statement.
Yes.
It's a powerful statement. She was such a sweet, had a, such a sweet demeanor. But man, when she put her finger in the chest of presidents, you know, they listened.
Well, she didn't pull any punches. She knew how to speak hard truths, but she also knew how to convey them in a way that was compassionate, loving,
kind. She did love. She did love, and she exuded all that as well. So let's look at this ninth one. If you judge people, you have no time to love them.
Boom.
Right? Because you only have room for one. I mean, I'm a guy. I have room for one thing in my mind at a time. So if I'm if I'm judging, I'm not loving.
Right.
Right? And I've set myself up as a judge, and everything has to come through me. And so I'll decide whether to love you. I'll decide whether you're worthy of my love. That's a bad place to be.
Or it's one thing to have to convey a hard truth to somebody. It's another thing to define them by that hard truth.
So here's the last quote, and our time is almost gone. And she says this, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. If you were looking for a place to start, here's the place, today. Today is a beautiful place to start. Let's live like Mother Teresa, hear her words, follow her example, and ask for her intercession. She's there for us. She loves us all. She's going to give us some hard truths, but she loves us, as does our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Saint Teresa, pray for us.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.